Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting, her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to Voice Rising. Today with me in studio is Claire Langen, and she has a fascinating story on how we all can look to nature and trust our inner artist to simply be more. You see, up until March 2020, Claire Langen pursued a busy career as a flautist, performing internationally, and then came the global pandemic. And what does a touring and concert musician do when all the concert halls are emptied and travel has come to a standstill? Well, Claire is about to share with us her own story of transformation and how she not only got through the last years, but learned to tap into other gifts and turn it into a time of creativity and self-nurturing. And the result is not only a new book, which is entitled Simply Be More, Time-Preserved Wisdom Through Fresh Eyes, but Claire also has a new brand, and Simply Be More was born. So welcome, Claire, to Voice Rising.
Hello, and thank you so much for having me. I just love so much that introduction. It's an honor to be here with you.
It's good to have you. You have this fascinating story. You do what, or you did, I guess, what some people say is, you know, to take the lemons and make lemonade out of it. Your story of the transformation of the pandemic, it unfolded so beautifully. So as everybody else was in lockdown, you were probably also a little bit shaky in the beginning as a musician, as the airports locked down and as the concert halls did empty. Do you remember those first months and where you were at or what you were feeling?
Sure. So I can remember in I did a concert in February 2020. I was doing a concert in France, in rural France, a lovely recital. And I flew back and I could sense the energy was very strange in the airport. And I could tell there was sickness about. It just wasn't right. Anyway, the next trip, I had to go to New Zealand. And I flew back from New Zealand. And I remember being in Dubai airport for my layover from Auckland. And I tell you, I texted home and I said, there's no way the world can sustain this level of travel. And there were people with like gas masks on. It was March, beginning of March. And I was like, this, because at that time we knew there was something going on. And I thought, gosh, this is really, really, really serious. There's something is happening. And then just overnight, all my entire diary was cleared. England went into, Great Britain went into lockdown. And every booking was taken away. And I thought, my goodness, what am I going to do? And a friend of mine who's a hypnotherapist, he invited me to be part of his life coaching course with an amazing gentleman called Chaddy Cooper, called Create Your Legendary Lifestyle. And I thought, well, you know what? I've got to make the most. As you said, I've got to make lemonade out of lemons here. And I have this time, I've got to use it well. And I tell you, it was completely life-changing. So I was in a really great space. It was all about time management. Obviously, I had more time than I ever had in my entire life, but it was managing that time. And I tell you, I was just so busy. I woke up was so excited every morning because I had all these things I wanted to explore and do. And I was meditating and I was running. I started running, and I live in a gorgeous part of the UK called East Anglia, just outside London. And it's just so pretty in the county of Suffolk. It's just gorgeous. And we were allowed a certain number of amount of time outdoors, so I really made the most of it. And I was listening to podcasts and I was reading. And one of the challenges that the coach set us was to do something you hadn't done since a child for 100 consecutive days. Mm. And what can I possibly do? And somewhere a little voice in my heart said, Claire, remember what your art teacher said. And I gave up art at school at the first possible opportunity. And it was when I was about 13, when you make your choices of what, you know, how you want to specialize. Mm-hmm. And I gave up art because I just was so frustrated by it. And when I left school at 18, before I went to university and then on to music college, all the teachers used to write in your yearbook. And the art teacher wrote in my yearbook, and he said, I will always say, you should never have given up art. And so there was a little seed in my mind. I thought, you know what, maybe I'm going to give it a go again. So I decided that my challenge for 100 consecutive days would be to do a sketch inspired by the amazing runs and the nature that I was experiencing and all the podcasts, the thought, the meditation. And so I started. And one of the things that we had to do is we had to share with the group what we're doing each week. And I think it was after the first week, I shared my 7 sketches, and there was a lady in the group who's a literary agent, amazing lady called Deborah Jacobs. And she said, Claire, I'm going to challenge you to send these to a publisher because I just believe there's something in it. This is special. I was like, are you crazy? And they were like, no, you've got to do it. And I was thinking, well, you know, why not? What have I got to lose? And maybe this is the time now that I'm going to take that step. I'm going to take that leap of faith. And why not? Just go for it. And so I emailed the publisher with I think by the time I plucked up courage, I think I had got 10 sketches I sent to John Hunt Publishing. And I wrote the email, and I think it was like 24 hours later, they wrote back and said, we absolutely love it. We want to publish this. And I just could not believe my eyes. This is the stuff of dreams.
Yeah.
So the next week, the group asked, they, you know, what happened? Did you do what you were challenged to do? And I said, well, yeah. And they said, well, what was the outcome? And I said, well, they've offered me a book contract. They want to publish it. And it, honestly, yeah. And it was like blown away. And they said, well, what have you done? And I said, I haven't done anything with it because it was really bizarre. I felt like, it was like I was in an otherworldly situation. Anyway, I obviously wrote back, and then I had the challenge to do the other 80-odd sketches. But you know what? I'd set the intention, and every day the ideas came, and it just fueled me. And that, and along with hand in hand with the meditation, with the reading, and just being in a different place where I wasn't constantly getting on a flight or jumping here or there, or I had everything was broken down just to the simplest, to the basics. And it was just such a rich time for me, and it changed my life, and it helped me to simply be more me and just to allow my light to shine in a different way. And I feel there's one of them, which is simply be more diamond, and we all got so many facets, but sometimes the light wants to catch us, but sometimes we don't allow, we hide the light. But, you know, I feel now that there's so much radiance in each and every one of us. We've just got to let that light shine in and through us. And that's just the secret of Simply Be More.
That is a secret of Simply Be More. And that's also the secret that you discover that many people have forgotten, that we can only see the stars when the night is the darkest, right? And diamonds are made under pressure. So the whole beautiful little book is so much about transformation. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand too, like with artists. We are so in that place of, you know, as a flautist, you were always really tuning the wind, having to trust the winds, right? Every time you changed a tiny bit, I mean, people just imagine that the flute is working so magically, but anybody who's ever played the flute knows that if you change just a tiny bit of your lips, you have a totally different tune. And what touched me so much is this image that, I don't know why I had this image, that you were, you know, the way you held the flute and the way you could capture these melodies suddenly transferred to the way you held your pencil or your pen, and you would capture these images, right? So, I mean, the canvas for you used to be the air, and suddenly you were staring, instead of at air and instead of at a hall, you were staring at the page and transforming that page into magic. And I just love that thought, to think of you taking these long walks. And so let's give the people an idea of this book. This is a new book, right? You managed, as a flautist, I mean, this is a crazy story, to magically go through this pandemic, start sketching every day. You did 100 sketches, and then each of these sketches, and that's a curious question as somebody who works a lot with voice. Did the sketches have a voice? Did this whole idea of Simply Be More, was it already in the air, or did that come at a later time?
No, it was there straight away. And
wow.
It was the most extraordinary thing. Everything was shouting out at me how it could, you know, like a tree, how that could simply be more, how a snail, a rose, my flute, literally everything. And my friends would tease me because they would say, you know, just like the most random objects, how they can simply be more. But the thing is that everything, like you in the introduction at the top of the show, everything is resonating and vibrating and being its best self. And I think about my dog and the cat. They know how to simply be more. They're not concerned about yesterday or tomorrow. They're living in the moment, being their best self. And that's, you know, I'm constantly having to remind myself that the moment is, the now is the most precious thing we possibly have. And yes, when I'm in the now, I am resonating at my highest frequency and being my best self and honoring my gift. And
so
I'm
sorry, continue.
No, it doesn't. So at that moment, it was when I had the pencil. I think what it told me is that I want to communicate. And so my flute voice has been taken from me, but then I had this new voice within the pen and the pencil.
Beautiful. So let's play a little bit. You have this beautiful book, and let's imagine it. You maybe have it close by. It's in your hands. And it's in it, and you're holding it just like you hold the flute, just like you, you know, hold your beautiful animals. What do you see when you look down at this book?
I see a world of possibilities and a world of hope. And I see the world that I know is possible and that every single person on this planet is yearning for. But they somehow, it's like the water is muddy. And they just need to let the water still. And if they have the time and just the presence, that will happen. That's what I feel that this book can teach.
Yeah, beautiful. And on the cover of this book, I don't know, you probably had so many images to choose from, but you chose the phoenix, and it says, just like a phoenix, I rise again, be more phoenix. Was there a reason why this image was the cover sketch for your book?
Yes, I mean, actually, it's very interesting. So I designed that as the cover, but the publisher chose to only use the phoenix because what was in the ashes was there was like, there were words. So it had COVID, it had my divorce, because that was something that I was reconciling with during the pandemic as well. So they're all different elements were in the embers. And that, I think the I rise again, it may, that those three words, or in fact just I rise, always reminds me of Maya Angelou, who I adore so much. I love her writing so much, and just her presence in the TV interviews and on the radio interviews I've seen too. And I just feel that feeling of every day is a resurrection. Every moment, actually, I have the choice of how I'm going to react and what I'm going to do and how I'm going to make the most of this precious life that we have.
That is so, it is so profoundly beautiful. So everybody who's out there, you can imagine, this is a little book, and it's actually a gem of a book. And it's a book that I've often, you know, while preparing this interview, I hold it in my hands and I simply allow the pages to open. It's kind of like playing tarot, or it's for me, it's not a book that you read from front to back necessarily. It's a book that you can leave on your coffee table or you know, in the kitchen, and you just pick it up, and then suddenly you see a beautiful sketch of a tree. And then it says, just like a tree in nature, I release in order to grow, be more tree. And you're like, wow, yeah, I release in order to grow. And then the next morning you're walking by and you grab it and you're like, oh, I'm just going to page through this. And you can page through it from left to right or right to left. And it says, dandelion. And I love dandelions, right? And then it says, just like a dandelion, I am full of dreams, be more dandelion. And the simplicity is so profound, because you said it in the beginning. Every object has something that we can learn from. And suddenly our whole environment, be more table. You know, you start, your imagination starts flying, you know, just like a, whatever, just like a chair, you know, I can support, you know, somebody, or just like it doesn't matter, you know, just like the sky, I am vast and open, or just like a storm cloud, you know. And suddenly I that's what I sense for myself. It's such a beautiful book because it's so simple. It is really simple. It's not, you know, it's not complicated, and yet it opens up a world of unlimited love for everything that is surrounding us, even a garbage can, you know, even, I don't know, even the manure. It's like, be more fertilizer, you know, just like cow manure, be more fertilizer and grow the garden. And I thank you for that, Claire. I mean, we're going to take a small break, but this simplicity that then expands into such a beautiful place is really precious. So we're going to take a small break. We're going to be back and talk more about
bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. Today I'm with the illustrator, musician, and creator of Susan Miller, Kara Lane. And Kara is on a mission to spark joy wherever she goes. So, Kara, we were just talking about this profound truth that every object can be transformative. And in the foreword of the book, you say that whatever follows I am becomes our reality. So share with us from your personal experience how this is true and what the power of affirmations or just this consciousness, I am tree, I am music, can do to us.
Well, yeah, I'm the power of affirmations cannot be underestimated. I have to monitor my self-talk. I'm sure I'm not the only person out there listening who has that constant challenge. And, you know, sometimes I catch myself and I think, gosh, I would never, ever say anything like this to anybody else. And I would, if I heard somebody say this, what I'm saying to myself about myself to somebody, I would just be horrified. So I catch myself and I correct myself and turn it around. And, you know, it's just so powerful. And I have lots of these affirmation cards dotted around the house, just to bring me back to that constantly and to focus on, you know, the power of I am, because I truly believe that whatever follows it will become your reality. It may not be today or tomorrow. It may be 5 years' time. And I'm finding now the things that I've been, wanting in my life and I've been affirming are now coming to fruition. But at the time I thought, gosh, how will this ever happen? But time is just, I don't believe in a linear time. I think it is already and not yet. It's just beyond, you know, the understanding of our clock time and calendar time. It's just something else. And I think if I live in that vibration where it's already there, it really is just where the magic happens.
That's where the magic happens, yes. Yeah. And yeah, continue, we're curious.
And the tree, I love trees. And, you know, I think sometimes I did a lot of driving today and I was looking at the bare trees and the sunset. And you know what? That was so beautiful. I saw the beautiful sky in all its glorious colors. And then the bare bones of the tree. And it was so stunning. It was just absolutely stunning. But I know that the beautiful green is not that far away. And I'm going to really enjoy that. But then when I think about the fall, then every period of that life of the tree is exquisite. And the tree isn't rushing any part of it. It's just in the moment being a tree, simply be more tree, you know. The tree knows what to do, just to stand tall.
Yeah. Yeah. The tree knows what to do. That's so true. Yes.
Yeah.
I was looking at trees today, too, and I was thinking, I was looking at trees and saw the bareness and the bare bones, and I was looking at, you know, as a singer, I also see these lung, you know, the veins in our lungs. And I was thinking how magical the trees are giving us oxygen, and they have the same their branches look exactly like the the inside of our lungs. And I don't know, it was such a compatibility. It was so magical. And also this ability, so many of us are striving towards the light, and yet the trees have these deep roots in the darkness. They're not afraid to go deep into the darkness. And like you said, to grow slowly. They have so much patience. And in front of my studio where I'm sitting now, there's a tree. It's over 100 years old. And it just, every spring, I feel like I'm living in a tree house because I'm on the third floor, so in an apartment. And I can basically feel like I'm, you know, walking out into the branches. But in the winter, when it's bare, it teaches us also all these things about regeneration and, and trusting the darkness. And it gives a home to all the birds, right? And the birds, even though it's freezing cold, are still singing, you know, be more bird, right? They're singing in the darkness before the sun comes up. And it's just, it's to see the beauty in every moment. I think it's precious. Exactly. Yeah. Claire, you said at one point that every single picture, which is hard to imagine. Now, this is a challenge for you for the next 100 years, right? Every single picture could become a book. How do you imagine that?
Well, you know, we've just been exploring a tree. Just in that, there's so much richness, isn't there? And when you think about it, a tree is cut down, there's a great, I heard it at Christmas time, and they were talking about the tree and how it was a beautiful allegory about this tree. There were three trees, and one of them wanted to be a treasure chest, another one wanted to be a boat, and another one wanted to rule the world, or wanted to, it was all these different things. And then, and it was how it related it to the Christian story. So one of the trees became the manger, so it held treasure, but not in the concept that one might think. So I'm just thinking about how a tree, even when some of us may consider it is dead, it can still continue its life, its beauty. You know, and nothing is ever wasted, truly. It goes back into, obviously, if it goes into the ground, or it could be make warmth. A tree can be burnt and made warmth. And there's just so much. My mind is just, you know, this is why I do it. This is how my mind works.
It can become the paper for your next book, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right? There's something so rich in the tree. So that's definitely, it's a whole book, isn't it?
That's true. It's a whole journey. Yeah, I was thinking, somebody shared with me the other day, which I didn't know, it's also part of a tree. They talked to me about acorn woodpeckers. How's this? And how they had to protect these homes on an island close to Canada. It was actually, you know, Northern California. Because the woodpeckers were not only boring their holes in the wooden houses, but they were stashing their acorns. And so the houses were being insulated by thousands of acorns. And just this thought, I just this thought made me laugh so much of these birds that are boring. I mean, I always think squirrels are like stashing nuts, but I never thought of a woodpecker stashing acorns in houses. Right? So you're right about that. Every image is now, because we're now on a tangent of the tree, and that's only the tree. So of course, if we go into be more water, we have the choppiness, we have the flow, we have the depth, we have the, you know, we have just so many possibilities, right?
Yeah.
So share with me a little bit. This book has just been released, but obviously it's opened a new path for you. I mean, you went from somebody who had given up art and pursued a career in music. I don't know now if you're concertizing again or if this beautiful path has overwhelmed you so much that you now, because I see that you have a new homepage and a brand and everything. Tell me some stories of people that are benefiting from these little wisdoms, these little golden nuggets that you are creating for our world.
Yeah, so I was one of the first, in fact, I was on the first cruise that Cunard did after post-pandemic. So it was a huge honor to be invited to perform on that. And I shared my show, my sketches. So I perform two tunes whilst it's like a 5-minute segment, and they share, and there's a video of some of my sketches. And I do a brief explanation prior to performing about what I was doing during lockdown. And so when I perform on a cruise liner, and I was recently on Viking, a lady came up to me at the end, and she told me she was 78. And she said, Claire, she said, I know, I have always known I had something more in me, but I never felt I had permission to explore it. And you've given me the permission to go out and simply be more. And this just completely blew my mind, because this lady was just had such, you could just see the energy in her. She just had so much she had so much life and so much more to explore. And yet all I was doing is sharing my story. And what it told me is that I must never shy away from just sharing my truth. And I was so lucky to have that opportunity as a professional flautist to be on stage and to have that platform. So I share my passion for music, but I can now share my passion for a way of life that I believe just will make people just feel so much happier, just to rest in the moment and just to believe in themselves. Now, the last sketch for me is the most important. It's simply be more you. And I think so many of us don't realize that we are just a wealth of gifts just waiting to be explored. That lady who waited until 78 she thought that her life was of exploration was over, but you know, maybe it's just the start of something. Yeah. And you know, we can, at no point are we ever at a point where we can't explore any longer. Things will change. I do a lot of work with people with dementia, but I can still see that there's an element of creativity within them. It's just a different expression of being of the divine within them. It's just very it's different phase.
And, realm. Yeah, exactly.
Realm. That is the word. So when it's very interesting that in July 2021, I was asked by the founder of a nonprofit, which I've worked for as a flautist for 20 years. I've done sort of maybe 30 or 40 concerts a year in residential care homes for people living with dementia. And in July 2021, the founder of the charity asked me if I would take over from her as the CEO. And I was like, how can this possibly be? I'm a flautist. I've just written this book. How can I possibly do this? I'm not a CEO. I'm all these things. And then again, I checked myself and I said, how can you possibly have written a book called Simply Be More? And then when you're asked to be more, you're given this amazing gift to move this amazing charity into its next phase post-pandemic. Mm-hmm. You're going to say no? Mm-hmm. And so I said yes, and now I'm discovering all these other skills within me. And if I can do these things, absolutely anybody can. It's just all within you. You just got to have the confidence to go for it. And it's amazing because people also want to help you, and you'll find the strength and all the skills within you. It's just, you've got to trust yourself, and you've got to trust life and trust the divine source, and know that you can simply be more in whatever realm that may be.
Yeah, trust is, I do believe as a musician, though, that trust has accompanied you for a long time. And but I also think you're right that every single person has these seeds of trusting in the unknown, of, you know, opening themselves to the possibilities that are there. And how is it for you when you work with people with dementia? How is it that they often say that music really unlocks, it's like a key that when people, there's a beautiful choir in New York called the Fifth Dimensions, which is dementia people singing. And when they sing, they're totally present and there. And then when the music stops, they tend to drift into other realms. So what is your experience working with people with dementia?
It is exactly as you say. I have had the privilege to perform with people who are in the final stages of their dementia journey, and the carers have said, look, you can go and play by the bedside, but don't expect there to be any reaction. The person has made no communication for months, and, you know, they're just they're having end of life care. Mm-hmm. And I've gone in, played by the bedside, and I honestly just say to myself, give me the right tune to play. And it always comes. I just feel which tune I'm going to play, and I play it, and always, without fail, you suddenly see a finger just tapping in time, or eyes open. We've had people who have had been nonverbal for 3 months start singing along, and it is the musical part of the brain is the last part to go. And so it literally is a key. It's like a window back into this realm, because I see often it's exactly it. They've passed to a different dimension, but the music is the key. It unlocks it, and it is so for the families. Like I remember once we did a concert, and I played Annie's song, which is the tune which I wanted to play from a little girl, with the beautiful John Denver melody, the piece that made me want to play the flute. And I played this piece of music, and this gentleman, he was visiting his father, and he came up to me at the end of the concert and floods of tears. And I said, what? It wasn't that bad, surely. He said, I just have to say thank you. Thank you, because my father called me by my name for the first time. He knew me, and he said, my dad hadn't known who I was, but he turned to me and he said, David, isn't this wonderful? And he said, to have my father call me by my name was just incredible. And he said, it's because of that piece of music. And it is so powerful. It's just a day without music is just so sad. And, you know, music is so much part of our lives, and I think that's what certainly kept a lot of people going through the pandemic and all the lockdowns, is music. You know, we owe so much to it. It's on the life gift.
It's a full brain, it's a whole brain experience. Claire, we're going to take a very small break, and then we're going to come back and dive into more of your beautiful insights.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
The AMI Awards and the AMI Woods Hall of Fame are the conscious media awards that aim to recognize and honor the best luminary minds, influencers, and changemakers of the conscious, spiritual, holistic, and indie communities. The AMI Conscious Media Awards are open to the participation of all creators, individuals, and visionary leaders who can classify their original work and their projects as part of the spiritually conscious genre. Learn more about the AMIs and how to participate in it at AMIs.com.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. an internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Transformation personally in the last 3 years. The pandemic gave you this huge gift. It's like everybody else. I think many people feel that we're in a recovery, we're in a new orientation. What message do you think collectively we're asked to listen to on the other end of this all? I mean, hopefully we're through it. I mean, I know it's still going on in places, but it feels, at least in Berlin, that things are relaxing, and what is the message that we should carry forward?
I think we've got to throw out the rule book, and I think I really believe that, and I think we've got to try and create a new way of living. And we know what this way of living is. We know that we should be helping each other. We know we should be creating a fairer society, and we should be looking after those less fortunate. We know all this is the right thing to do. And now we've just got to do it. And it takes each and every one of us. And it's these small little changes we can make in our life. And all the things that we did during lockdown that fed our souls, we've got to keep doing them. That's the challenge for me. When we get so busy with work and everything, I'm going, well, no, what was it? How can I have what I had during lockdown, which created this amazing book and gave, you know, it was all there, but it was like I had the perfect timing to do it. But I must be able to recreate that within the life. But it's all down to choice. And every moment I have to make the choice. What's going to push me towards my goals and towards this belief that we can have the heaven on earth? I believe that we can have heaven or hell on earth. That's the choice constantly. We either create this. We have this celestial possibility, and sometimes I can feel it. There's a place that I run, and I honestly, it's like a portal into another universe. It's just. And even now I'm talking about it, my palms are buzzing. It's just, it's divine. And I know that if I strive and work hard enough, I can find that in every moment, glimpses of this, it is possible. And I believe that it's the same for each and every one of us. And we've just got to focus on the goodness and the light and knowing how, it's just the old thing, how you'd like others to treat you, we must treat them. And that's it. If we can just go back to that and I really believe that now is the time that we just, everyone needs to step up and be the change that we want to see in the world. I mean, it's a phrase which is used a lot, but it truly just takes every single one of us to do a little bit every day, and there'll be huge transformation.
Yeah, it's a favorite line from the Lord's Prayer, is on earth as it is in heaven. It's my favorite line, because I think you're totally, we are in alignment and with this possibility, and yet it takes each and every one of us to make that choice, like you said. And one of the reasons, and again, you know, I focus so much on voice in the show, and yet this book holds exactly that, the vibration of goodness, the vibration of coming back. We're in a world where we're writing with our thumbs and a digitized font. We're getting a little bit lost in this AI. People are doing, you know, digital artwork now with AI, and handwriting is, nobody's sending a card anymore. Everybody's, you know, typing a quick text message. And I think what touches me so much is that we have to remember that if we're going to connect to our earth and connect back to our bodies and connect to our community and use our hands for chopping vegetables and hugging our friends and, you know, after this, this social distancing made it really apparent that we get to choose. Are we going to go into more distancing and more norming everything, right? Everything as a norm, or are we going to go to that personal, authentic quality that each and every one of us carries, right? Through little sketches, through, that's why I'm always so grateful when I get a book in my hand, you know?
Yeah.
I had a publisher today said, can't we just send you a PDF? And I said, actually, you know, although it has its beauty to be able to, you know, to read, maybe, I don't know. I just love having books in my hand because you touch it.
And to see a room with books, that's just like heaven for me. And I look at somebody's bookshelf and I think, gosh, we've got these books in common. You know, I must look into this because I haven't read this book. You know, I know this person, but I don't know this book. And I just, books, they're just the best.
And they are like, yeah, Be More Book, right? They are all these different voices that have been captured in like a time capsule or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's so amazing. And then this voice, I'm reading these books, and that's what also, I was so grateful to John Hunt Publishing for publishing your sketches. Sometimes your handwriting is, you know, smaller and bigger, and you just sense that it's the way it was created, you know, more or less. That's what it feels like to me. Nobody came in and put in a Times Roman font so it'd be easier to read. It still has this vibration of Claire sitting there after her run or, you know, whatever, sipping her tea and sketching. Yeah. And it allows the, I don't know, it's somewhere with this handwriting and the sketching, it's the heart of humanity that we need to pass on to each other, you know, which you're doing and which other people are doing too. And like you said, we all have the choice to make, right? We do have the choice. So I do see you're doing now, you're starting to do other images for people. And you do have a homepage out there, simplybemore.co.uk. That is the ending for everybody who's more or less in England and the United Kingdom, .co.uk, United Kingdom. So Simply Be More. And you also have your homepage as a musician and flautist, clairelangen.co.uk. Is that, can people write you and send you ideas for new images?
Yeah, of course they can. So I do respond to everything, and I love hearing from. I have lots of people I keep in contact. I've met loads of people over the years on all around the world, and I feel so lucky with the community of friends that I've built up. Such special people, and you know, I just treasure. I treasure the relationships and the people who come across my path. It's a real gift.
And if you had anything to share with people, we've talked about following your inner voice. We've talked about frequencies, vibration. If you had any kind of wisdom to share with people about the voice and, you know, what it means to you to communicate, to express, to share also these beautiful words that are accompanying your sketches, what would it be?
My biggest thing that I have learned is never to stop listening to your inner voice, because when you listen, don't, that's when, well, in my experience, things go wrong. But I say they go wrong, but I realize they're just red lights eventually go green, but I can take the easy path, which hasn't got so many red lights and amber lights, or I can just put my voice in a box and go straight to green. But I love the Matthew McConaughey books about green lights, and it's exactly right. You know, you look back in your rearview mirror and you realize that they were green lights all along, but you just, you know, you had to work through it. But is discerning that inner voice and listening to it, because it's always right. And yet sometimes I want to get to B, or I want to get to Z or Z quicker. I don't want to go through the whole alphabet, so I kind of want to jump there. But sometimes you have to go through the process. And that's what I'm learning. And I'm also learning just to be my authentic self. And yes, I am quite eccentric and quite, you know, but that's okay. And if more people just were truly living their path, the world would be a more beautiful place. I think so many of us are so concerned, especially in my world with musicians, it's all, and I have to be really careful about this, it's all about how many followers, how many likes, and it can be very destructive. But it's about what's important is how I feel in my heart. When I put my hand on my heart, do I feel like there's rose petals falling from heaven, or do I feel, you know, do I feel down and muddy? And I just want to feel in a radiating state, and anything which is putting me in that state is good. So I follow that path.
That's beautiful. And I was just tuning in while you were speaking and thinking that you were talking about this at the beginning of the show, the power that the words have, the I ams, and that we often are so harsh with ourselves, right? With everybody else, we try to choose good words. And often it's that those words that are so harsh that gives us the red lights, the stoplights, because we just don't trust that we can be at peace in every moment. We can choose kindness and love and non-toxic people, and we can choose to close the evening with a beautiful sketch or with a beautiful piece of music. We have that choice. We have that ability. We have a lot of freedom that we're not taking always, because we think that it has to be a different way, right? And Claire, share. We have one more minute, and then we're going to close the show. Share your last words.
Yeah, no, I completely adore everything you've just said. Everything is a choice. It's like Dr. Edith Egger says, everything is a choice. And we choose something which empowers and create, and it is beauty.
Exactly. So I thank you so much, not only for being on the show, but I thank you for creating in the middle of a very complex and scary in many ways, pandemic, you chose to create beauty, and you chose to heal the wounds of that child that didn't pursue art, and you chose to circle back and really rise like the phoenix out of the ashes. You probably even surprised yourself by doing that. And you surprised many of us too, because the book is really precious. Everyone out there, go get the book by Claire Langen. John Hunt, thank you for putting out this little book, which is very unusual. It is eccentric, it's odd, and it's a book that you can just have around and you can give it as gifts, because it asks us to be more, to be a little bit more. And I thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It is one who takes a chance.